myth. I'll make sure my teenager gets a credit card so he or she can learn to be responsible with money. I'm going to send them off to school. They got to have something to protect them. Okay, just pack an Uzi in their suitcase with the safety off. That'll protect them, right? What happened? It went off. The same thing will happen if you give them a credit card. It'll go off. Truth. The problem is this. Teenagers and kids are now the number one target of credit card companies across America today. And the reason is this. They've given you guys about all the cards they can give you. The market's saturated. But what they're discovering is brand loyalty to your first card is incredible. And I've discovered this to be true. The very first person who gives you a credit card, you'll keep that one forever. It's like an old boyfriend's number, you know, just in case, or old girlfriend's number, right, just in case. And what I do is I see people, I'm up front cutting up cards, and then I'll look at them and go, okay, where's the other one? How'd you know? Well, I've had this one since college. And they get it out, and it's this old worn-out looking credit card. It ain't even been updated, but they've had it forever, and it's like an old friend. Isn't it amazing? It's like a four-year-old with a security blanket. We're very, very loyal to our very first credit card issuer, and so they all work really hard to be our very first credit card issuer. So they're on campus, and they set up tables with free T-shirts, free hats, and a free pizza, don't they? And many a college student in here right now, or former college student in here right now, has traded their financial soul for a dad-blamed T-shirt. And we all know we did it. Well, I'll pay. I won't use it. I'm just getting the shirt. I'm just getting the 10% off. It'll never happen to me. Yeah, you're playing with a multi-billion-dollar company. They don't make mistakes in marketing. You know, you may occasionally win that battle, but most of the time, they're coming to get you. It's not a game. And they're going younger and younger and younger and younger. The game of life now takes Visa. Visa takes life. You can't live life without Visa. What a great marketing message. And the sad thing is, deep down in our souls, we really believe we can't have a life if we don't have a Visa. That's a broken concept. I'm not mad at Visa. Again, I'm in awe of the excellence of their marketing. And they keep getting younger and younger and younger teaching kids. Now, I don't think they're really trying to issue these four-year-olds credit cards, but they're teaching them so when they get to the college campus, they pick Visa instead of picking Discover or instead of picking MasterCard. It's a brand war, just like Papa John's and Domino's and Pizza Hut. It's a brand war, or Pepsi and Coke. It's a brand war, right? And they're fighting for that market share tooth and nail, and they're spending big bucks to do it, and they're starting to train children. It's called kiddie branding. We found this a couple of years ago. This little baby is Barbie. Cool shopping Barbie. Now, I had girls at my house, and so we're not mad at Barbie. We have Barbie and Barbie parts all over our house. We kind of like Barbie. We wish she'd eat a little better, but we kind of like Barbie, you know. So. But I had a real problem with Cool Shopping Barbie, because Cool Shopping Barbie came out with a little MasterCard taped to her hand, and of course included in the kit is a full-size MasterCard. This particular product by Mattel was sponsored by MasterCard. So what's the message here? If you're 3 or 4 years old, 5 years old, and you're playing with Barbies, and you want to be pretty and cool when you're shopping, and you're cool, what do? You don't use Discover. You don't use American Express. You use MasterCard. That's what cool people do. That's the message, isn't it? And it's drilled home and drilled home and drilled home and drilled home. By the way, this little thing came with no cash. And here's what's sickening. Here's what we're training our four-year-olds. Listen, this is how you know you're cool right here. Listen.
Credit approved.
Credit approved. You airhead. Sad thing is, this is having an effect on our youngsters. Junior Achievement did a study called The Case for Economic Education and discovered two things. More young adults filed bankruptcy than graduated from college last year. And colleges are telling them in this same study over and over and over that they're losing more students to credit card debt problems than they are to academic failure. You get your credit cards up, you got to go get a job and pay them. You quit school and come home, which, by the way, activates your student loans 6 months later, and you don't have an education to get the better job to be able to pay the student loans. There's a cycle here that's really got socioeconomic impact. It's a real problem. We, the consumer, have to wake up and say, you know, I'm thinking maybe no. There's an idea. Just something to think about. Myth. The home equity loan is good for consolidation. And it's a substitute for an emergency fund. Debt consolidation makes sense. No, it doesn't. Truth. If you are in debt, here's an idea. If you have an emergency, the last thing you need to do is go further in debt. Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. I'm going to put a home equity loan on instead of carrying an emergency fund, and then I'll be okay. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Myth. Debt consolidation saves interest, and you get one smaller payment. Truth. Debt consolidation is a con. That's why they call it debt consolidation. Debt consolidation typically saves little or no interest because you throw your low interest loans into the deal. You take a no-interest medical bill and roll it into the deal. You take a zero-interest car payment and roll it into the deal. You take all these other lower-interest things and roll them into the deal, and you get the whole thing on there at 10, 11% as a second mortgage on your house, and the aggregate of all your other debt would have been a lower rate. But you never add all that up. It's just, I want one payment. It's just not convenient. It's more convenient for me to give them more money. That's what we're saying. And here's the trick. You've got to remember, you cannot borrow your way out of debt, and that's really the spirit of debt consolidation. If I could find a plan, I'll just borrow my way out. You cannot borrow your way out of debt. It's impossible to borrow your way out of debt. You can't dig your way out of a hole. If you're in a hole and you dig out the bottom, you're just going deeper. That's the deal. You got to climb out of a hole. That's how you get out. And smaller payments equal to more time in debt. I just can't handle the payments. And when I debt consolidated it, I was smart financially because I have a smaller payment. If you have a smaller payment, unless the interest rate is way smaller, then you are in debt longer. That's the only part of the variable that can work. The only way to have a smaller payment is be in debt longer. That's what brings the payments down. You're going in the wrong direction. Think. You can't borrow your way out of debt. Debt consolidation doesn't work. So, our last myth. Debt is a tool. It should be used to create prosperity. The truth is, the borrower is slave to the lender. You know, when I ran into this, and I really started to grasp it, it was hard for me. Because I got to thinking about it. Who was it taught me to borrow money? This was my college finance professor who was broke. What's wrong with that picture? A broke finance professor is like a shop teacher with missing fingers. So I have a rule. I don't take financial advice from broke people anymore. I want to do what rich people are doing. I get to be rich people. Whatever the broke people are doing, I can love them. I like them. I don't want to help them be rich people. But I don't want to do what they're doing. If I want to be skinny, I'm not going to eat what fat people are eating. This is not hard, is it? You have to think about these things. If you want a marriage, don't go to some guy who's been married 16 times and wrote a book. Find some old couple walking along like this, been married 62 years, and she's holding him up. Find out how he did that. That's worth knowing. Take that guy to lunch. He's got some wisdom. Find winners and mimic what they're doing to win. That's how we become rich. That's how this works. And so when you look at it, you know what the Forbes 400 is? The Forbes 400 is the 400 wealthiest people in North America today. The Forbes 400 were surveyed. They asked the 400 wealthiest people in North America today. Not your broke brother-in-law. Not your beer-drinking buddy with an opinion. They asked the 400 richest people in North America, what's the most important key to building wealth? I mean, inquiring minds want to know this. You know, think about it. What they said was 75% of those replied that the number one way to become wealthy was to stay debt-free. It's the number one key to wealth building. And here's why. Your largest wealth-building tool is your income. And when it's not all going out the door with someone else's name on it, you have it to do things like investing. It's your biggest deal. You take an old car payment, you take an old credit card payment, you get rid of a student loan that's been around so long you think it's a pet, and you take those payments and start putting those things into a mutual fund, you end up with money. It is the muscle of your wealth building plan, your income. But when you're handcuffed because it all has someone else's name on it, you're a slave to the lender. Myth, debt is a tool. Truth, the borrower is slave to the lender. Because when you don't have any payments, you have
money.
You stay in your seat. Oh, think about it. How much could you save, invest, blow, and give if you had absolutely no payments? But you know why people don't, why they don't get out of debt? It's because they've lost their hope. That's why they don't get out of debt. They don't really believe that they can be debt free. That's why they don't get out of debt. It's kind of like when I was growing up, my parents, we moved from the suburbs out to the country. Well, about the time I took off for college is actually when that happened. Now, out in the country in our area, it was like 5 acres. It wasn't like 50,000 acres, okay? But my dad, my little sister got involved in the rodeo over at the high school in the rodeo club, and she was riding a horse around the barrels for a time. Have you ever seen that? Say yes.
Yes.
And they bought her a quarter horse to ride the barrels. His name was Bubba. And then they got tired of riding around the barrels, and they decided they were going to enter another event. And that event was kind of like the guys having rodeo. The guys have an event in rodeo called calf roping. And if you've seen calf roping on ESPN or if you've ever been to the rodeo or something like that, the cowboy's sitting in the saddle, the calf is released, they ride out after the calf, the lasso goes around the calf, and the cowboy, the horse is taught to stop and start backing up, cowboy ties off, jumps from the horse, runs his hand along the line, calf is running, has no idea, slack's running out. About the time the slack runs out, that head pops, wee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee, cowboy uses that backward momentum, flips that calf upside down, ties his feet together, and holds his hands up for a time. Have you seen that event? Say yes.
Yes.
Well, the girls have a similar event. Only they don't flip and rope calves because they're too big, the calves are, so the girls flip and rope goats. Now, I know it sounds kind of funny, but they were real serious about it. Hat down over the eyes, serious about being a goat roper. I mean, it's a big deal. Goat roping is a real sport. I mean, they were real serious about it. So we had to buy her a goat to practice on. And since we were going to practice on him, we named him Practice the Goat. And so what happened in the Tennessee summer heat with the humidity standing in the field about this tall, I saw them out there with the goat. They grabbed old Practice by the ears. They gave him a little boot because she's on the horse ready to go after him, right? And he's running out through there. He's going, man, this is great. I'm not a goat. I'm a gazelle. I am gone, baby. About that time, the rope goes around his neck. He has no idea. That she ties off. Bubba starts backing up. She runs from Bubba down that line. That backward momentum, that slack runs out. Nee, 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 nee. She grabs that goat, flips him upside down, ties his little feet together. He says, what happened? I thought I was a gazelle. I must be a goat. I got to tell you the truth. They did that to that goat 15, 20 times a day all summer long. To the point that where they would flip and tie him, they wore the grass off and there was a bare spot. Now, if you've ever been around goats, they're not real smart. But eventually, old Practice began to catch on. I saw him finally. He's running out through there. He saw that bare spot and he went, stop, pain right here. He finally got where he'd run out there, stop and lay down. We told her if we could get him to tie his own feet together, she could win every event. You know what happened to old Practice? Old Practice lost his hope, didn't he? He got beat up one too many times, and he just quit. He just went out there and laid down. It's kind of a funny story, but really, when you think about it in perspective of our lives, it's kind of sad. Because I meet people and they run out there and they lay down, don't they? Say, oh, you're always going to have a car payment. Little man just can't get ahead. Just forget it. You can't make it. In the greatest land the world has ever known. Plus, Practice had to go back to the goat pen, didn't he? And the other goats are going, ah, you're not going to make it. That's just the way it is. Take it easy, man. Don't work while you're at work. Don't try to be a winner. Mediocrity, we're just goats, man. Just take it. Just go out there and lay down. That's just how it is. You're always going to have a car payment. You can't be a student without a loan. You can't have a master without a card. That's the way it is, Practice. Get over it. I got to tell you, though, I'm the goat that got away. I'm over here the other side of the bear spot. It's not really a bear spot. It's more like a mountain of dead, isn't it? And I've got lights over here and radios playing. Music playing, we're throwing ropes across, shining, sending the internet over there. And we're doing all this stuff, and we hear people climbing up the other side. Boom, 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 boom. We hear them on the other side of that wall. They call in, they're screaming, how do I do this, Dave? What do I do, man? I'm trying it. Man, I'm doing this stuff. I'm kicking it. And see the head pop up occasionally. And occasionally one of them will drop off over here, and they call in on our talk radio show. And they tell us, Dave, I make $62,000 a year, but Dave, I've been busting it. I've been killing it. I mean, I've done everything you said to do. It's been hard, but man, I'm debt free! I've been studying this for a couple of decades now while I've been doing it and teaching it both. And literally millions and millions of families have tried these ideas. So I'm starting to see trends because the numbers are so big now. I'm seeing things that are in common characteristics across these groups of people. And one of the things I kept hearing on the radio show and when I would meet people in person, they had this thing in their voice. The ones that were going to make it, the ones that weren't going to be a goat, the ones that were going past the bare spot, that were going over the top, that were going to make it, they were going to get out of debt, they had this thing. It's like an attitude. It's like, all right, what do I got to do? This is it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. And then I'd have other ones that would call in and go, whoa, dude, this is kind of like entertaining, sort of, kind of. How would you maybe do this, sort of, kind of? What's your strategy? And I'm going, you're not going to make it. Well, why, man? You got to go get mad or something. These other people got something going on that you know, we got to hit you or something to get you a little upset. You know what I'm saying? You got to get fired up about this somehow. And I've been studying it, and then I was reading through Proverbs. You know, there's 31 Proverbs. And so if you read one proverb a day, it's a good one a day. If you don't do anything else, that's a good one. And even if you're not a Christian, it's okay. Just read one a day. I mean, because if you read it over and over and over again, eventually you get a master's degree in finance. It's in Proverbs, okay? and really, it is. And so I'm reading along, and I've read through them several times, and I hit this one morning. It was kind of interesting. It said, it's Proverbs 6, 1 through 7. It said, if you've signed surety, my son, do this. Now, I had a spiritual awakening several years ago. I had a real spiritual revival. I had a spiritual discovery. I figured out God is smarter than me. And so when I'm reading along and it says, if you're doing this and you don't want to be, do this, I go, uh-huh, okay, this is important. Write this one down. So if you're in debt, surety is an old English Bible term for going into debt. Okay, if you've signed surety, my son, if you got yourself in debt, do this. I'm like, okay, there it is. There's something. There's a big deal here. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids, and deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and a bird from the hand of the fowler. And I went, gazelles, birds? How am I using that? I don't understand. I don't get it. It's a nice little animal metaphor, but I mean, we'll talk about it in Sunday school class. But I mean, if you're in debt, what's a gazelle got to do with it? That was honestly my reaction. Some of you don't pray that way, but that was my reaction. And the truth is, that night I was scanning the channels. I was channel flipping, and I hit the Discovery Channel. And on the Discovery Channel were the gazelles. They were out there gazelling around. And I thought to myself, if you're in debt, deliver yourself like the gazelle from the hand of the hunter, the bird from the hand of the fowler. This is how you get out of debt. And I'm watching there a minute, and you know, if it's the Discovery Channel, that the gazelles aren't there by themselves. I mean, you know somebody else is around, right? I mean, Mr. Cheetah is there looking for lunch. And the gazelles, you know, they have a little cheetah detector right behind their ear, and they see the cheetah. They go, uh-oh, cheetah! Run! And I'm thinking, whoa, this is how you get out of debt. It's like life or death. You got to bust it, man. You got to run like you're on fire. The way you get out of debt is you go, 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 go. You're getting ready to be a gazelle burger. This is how you get out of debt. And you know, I'm watching this thing unfold, and I'm thinking, man, this guy's fast. And the Discovery Channel came on, and they said, you know, the cheetah is the fastest mammal on dry land. This bad boy can go from 0 to 47 miles an hour in 4 leaps. The fastest animal on dirt. And he's trying to eat the gazelle. This is how you get out of debt. You run! And look what he did. He picked out the little one. He got him a college student. Hey. Hey, come here. Come here. You need a hat. Don't you need a college? Don't you need a pizza? Come here. I got a t-shirt for you. Come here. Come here. Come here. I got something you need. Here's how you get out of debt. You gotta run. You gotta go, 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 go. It's your only way out. Honey, you can wander into debt, but you can't wander out. You got to bust it. You got to get it in gear. You go into the football stadium and you're going crazy for your football team. Hey, here's an idea. Put that kind of passion and enthusiasm into your family, into your destiny, into where you're supposed to be financially. Go get rid of some stuff. Get your life back. So you want the technique to get out of debt? Here's the technique. It's called gazelle intensity. You got to go for it. You got to get wired up and fired up. You got to kick it in gear like never before. This is how you get out of debt. I don't care if you've got a master's degree in psychology. You got to kick it, baby. That's how it's done. I don't care if you don't have a degree in anything. You got to kick it, baby. That's how it's done. There are no other options. You can wander into debt in our culture. They will help you. They will draw you in. They will lure you in. They will tackle you. They will tie you. But you got to get out. You got to be focused, busting it, kicking it. And if your broke friends are making fun of you, you're right on track. You know how long we had to look for a video clip where the gazelle got away? Oh my goodness. Gazelle intensity is your only option. But you know what we do? We get stuck in a hole, don't we? And we're like, okay, let's pray. Jesus, get me out. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I made a mess. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm stupid. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Get me out of my mess. Jesus, Jesus. I'm an idiot. Jesus, get me out. Y'all ever prayed that prayer? I prayed that one. Lord, I'm in a mess. My money's upside down. Help me, Lord. And then you go to the mailbox and there's a Visa in the mailbox. You go, thank you, Jesus. Jesus did not send the Visa. The proper response when you open the mailbox and see the Visa is, cheetah! You have to start thinking differently. But the cool thing is this. If you will live like no one else, later you get to... And see, what ends up happening here is when you start pulling these things apart, when you make the decision to bust into this subject, it turns the whole thing around, and eventually you will get to chase the cheetah.